I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi-yo. Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome to this episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai, who will be four very soon, which is crazy, and I've got Ali, who's just turned two. I also have a business baby, Your Birth Project, which is my online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth. If you're pregnant or know someone who is, make sure you check out Your Birth Project. It's got all of the information that you need to feel empowered and confident heading into your birth, and it covers all types of topics that you probably won't even hear about in your antenatal class. So make sure you go and check that out to have your best possible birth. Today I am speaking with Christy and she is going to share with us her pregnancy and birth stories. She suffers a miscarriage for her first pregnancy experience, so she talks us through that in quite a detailed account. So if you don't feel ready for that, you could either choose to skip through that part of the episode or maybe give this one a miss for today. She then goes on to have two pregnancies and births. The first one was an emergency C-section and the second one is a planned C-section. She's a mum who didn't learn anything about C-sections before her first birth because she didn't think it was going to happen to her, which is such a normal feeling, and lots of people have those thoughts, but she wishes that she knew more about it before she went into birth. So I think it's a really interesting perspective to hear from Christy, and she does a beautiful job of telling her story. I know that you're going to love this one, so I know you've been hanging out for it too. I will let you jump into it and enjoy the episode. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to find me, do so at Kiwi Birth Tales or at Your Birth Project on Instagram or on email Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N at kiwibirthtales.com. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, Christy, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
No worries. Would you like to tell us a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Christy. I live in Papamoa with my family and I have my partner Hunter, my two-year-old son Koa and my three-month-old daughter Kiwa.
Cool. And we're going to talk through your sort of mum life journey today. So that's everything from pregnancy to birth and postpartum. And I'm sure we've got a lot to cover. But why don't we start with your journey to pregnancy the first time around? So talk us through that.
Yeah, sure. So the first time around was a bit of a shock. I actually wasn't with my partner at this stage. So I was a single girl and, yeah, found out I was pregnant, which was, yeah, a huge shock. Was not expecting it at all. So, yeah, I was with a few friends when I did the test. I missed my period, so that was why I decided to take a test. And it was just complete shock. But I think a part of me was a little bit excited. I've always wanted to be a mum, but obviously I wasn't in a set relationship or I felt quite young and wasn't quite ready. That pregnancy was, I think the start of it was kind of making a decision whether or not I was going to keep that pregnancy. And I remember I rang my mum and I just said, you need to come over to Papamoa, and she lives in Taupo. And yeah, my mum hopped in the car and drove over and I told her I was pregnant. I was crying and it was, I was really worried what they would think because they knew I didn't have a boyfriend. That mum was super supportive and she just said, this is so exciting and all of the rest of it. So that made me feel a lot better. And then she drove back to Taupo and I was, feeling pretty good about it. And told Hunter, who, yeah, was the father, and he was shocked as well. I think it took him a little while to come to terms, but he was amazing. And I think from that day, we pretty much moved straight in with each other, which seems a bit crazy now, but yeah, we didn't really leave each other's side since I found out I was pregnant. Yeah, and then I had a miscarriage. So I think I was around 8 weeks. I went to the dating scan, and the lady said to me, there's a heartbeat, but it's not a super strong one. So don't be surprised if in a few days' time things don't progress. And so, yeah, that was a bit of a shock. I kind of thought, whoa, what do you mean? Yeah, and she was right. And a few days later, I started bleeding, and I went and had an ultrasound that morning. And yeah, there was no heartbeat.
And were you with, like, had you found a midwife and stuff like that? Like, was there someone, like a care provider, sort of supporting you through that period?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't have a midwife, or I didn't contact anyone, which I think what I know now seems crazy to me. You know, if I was pregnant now, the first thing I would do would be find a midwife. But I guess I just didn't really know. So I just went through my GP to confirm my pregnancy. And yeah, then my GP was incredible. She phoned me and sorted out the scans and all the rest. But yeah, I didn't have didn't really have any support actually after that happened, because it was no further contact with my doctor, and it was just cool, see you.
yeah. And what about, like, you and Hunter? You know, you said, like, you were not in a relationship at the time, and then you find out that you're pregnant and you sort of, like, move in together. And I guess dealing with the shock of an unexpected pregnancy and then the shock of a pregnancy loss, like, how did you guys cope with that? How did you cope with that mentally? Talk us through, yeah, that period.
Yeah, that was a tricky one, because I think we both felt really brave telling our parents, and that was a big thing for us, having to tell all of our friends. And believe me when I say we told absolutely everyone we were pregnant. I told every single one of my friends when I was about 4 or 5 weeks pregnant, which was helpful for us because they were a great support. But yeah, Hunter and I just never left each other's side really from then, and he was a great support. And I think in those short few weeks we just kind of came to terms with it, and he's always wanted to be a dad as well, not so early, but yeah, he was excited. And yeah, then it was just a big shock when it was kind of over. But yeah, we just didn't leave each other from then, and I think it really formed a solid relationship for us.
Yeah, that experience, I guess, like, quite massive change in your relationship. And yeah, I can only imagine how that would build a bond, and yeah, in that sort of strange and sad way, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I would have thought most guys, you know, would have left finding out that someone's pregnant, or let alone as soon as the miscarriage happened. But no, he was amazing, and yeah, was such a strong support for me.
That's so nice to hear. And did you experience like any pain or any, like, real physical symptoms with your miscarriage?
I don't actually think I felt any pain, but I just started having massive clots on the toilet. That was when it started. Yeah, a lot of clots. I couldn't believe how much kind of came out, considering I was it's probably about 8, maybe 9 weeks pregnant. But yeah, just big clots. And yeah, I a little bit crampy, but that was about it. And I didn't I didn't go to the doctors, or I didn't, you know, go and get a DNC or anything afterwards. I just got it all out on the toilet, I guess, and then yeah, carried on.
Yeah. And how did you sort of recover from that? Like, did you feel, yeah, I guess just how was your mental health in that period, and what were you sort of going through with that? And then, yeah, maybe talk us through the next little while, getting into your relationship and then eventually falling pregnant the second time around.
Yeah, sure. So I think mentally I was actually okay because, like I said, we were tossing up whether to keep the pregnancy or not. So I think I had in my head thought about not having the baby. But when I had decided that no, I do want this, it was quite hard to come to terms with losing it. But I think honestly, my mentality after I had that miscarriage was I just want to be pregnant again, which seems, yeah, a bit crazy to some people, but I think I was just so sure that I wanted to have a baby. And yeah, Hunter and I were great. We did stuff every day and hung out all the time. And yeah, we just carried on our relationship. And then I fell pregnant 2 months after my miscarriage. So really, really quickly afterwards, which I felt really lucky, but I was also almost certain that I was going to have a miscarriage again.
Yeah, and did that make you like feel, were you having a lot of anxiety around that, or how were you sort of dealing with that?
Yeah, I think I just mentally prepared myself to have a miscarriage again. I mean, I had, it sounds so silly now, but I had never even considered myself having a miscarriage before I had one. I just hadn't heard of anyone having one. But I mean, it's 1 in 4, so you know, if you're out for coffee with 3 of your friends, it's that's the statistic that 1 of you would, you know, have a miscarriage. And that's crazy. That's so many people. But yeah, I'd never heard of it. So but yeah, the second time I just thought, no, I'm definitely having a miscarriage again. And I think I went into that first scan thinking, yeah, there'll be no heartbeat. But so yeah, I guess I did have a bit of anxiety through that pregnancy. Yeah, and I just kind of thought the worst all the time. I didn't want to celebrate it too much because I thought it was just going to end, which was a bit sad.
Yeah, that is sad. And did you find a midwife like earlier in your pregnancy this time?
Yeah, I did. I messaged Carmen as soon as I was pregnant, and yeah, I was really lucky that she had space for me and was able to take care of me. And yeah, the midwife was just so incredible.
Yeah, awesome. And were you talking to her about like how you were feeling in your pregnancy, around your like anxiety about pregnancy loss? And did she have any tips for you at the time, or yeah, how was she supporting you with that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think she was just really good with allowing me to ask questions and have reassurance and probably doing more yeah, more scans or more checking the heartbeat, etc. at our appointments just so that I could have that reassurance. But yeah.
Awesome. And how were you feeling in that first trimester, like outside of the sort of anxiety piece? What about your physical symptoms? How were you, how did this pregnancy play out?
Yeah, I was quite sick. And we were in actually a really tricky time because I was working full time as a teacher. And Hunter and I, when I said earlier we lived together, he moved into the flat that I was in. So it wasn't just the two of us. And then that flat ended, and so Hunter moved into his friend's place in Paengaroa, and I was finding a flat. And I felt really funny about trying to find a new flat while I was pregnant. And yeah, that was all a bit of a struggle. So it was all a little bit up in the air, those early days. And I was just really sick, just vomiting. Didn't, yeah, couldn't get food down. Felt really yuck and kind of just nauseous and dizzy the whole time. But as soon as I hit probably 10 weeks, I was perfectly fine. So it just went pretty much overnight, which yeah, was just so amazing. I felt so much better.
Yeah, awesome. And when you talk about like finding a flat and, you know, that sort of living situation when your previous flat ended, did you and Hunter have plans for like towards the end of your pregnancy? And what were you like thinking for when baby was here? How was that? How were you hoping that would play out?
Yeah, so ideally we were looking for a place for the two of us. But it was quite tricky to find a place actually. And we're both not from here, so we didn't have too many contacts at the time. But
yeah,
we were really lucky to find a flat when I was maybe 3 months pregnant. And
awesome.
Yeah, so we moved in, just the two of us, and yeah, started our little life as a family, soon to be.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And what about like all of the testing and stuff that's offered in New Zealand? Did you do all the testing? Did you want to find out the sex of your baby? How did you go with that?
Yeah, we did do all of the testing and we did find out the sex at the 20-week scan. We did a little gender reveal thing, so my sister knew, but yeah, we found out then and had a reveal of that it was a boy, and that was so exciting. I think Hunter desperately wanted a boy, and I wasn't too bothered, but yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And what about birth education? So did you do antenatal classes or anything like that in your pregnancy to prepare for birth?
Yeah, so I did hatched antenatal, which was in-person classes through my midwife. She facilitated that program, and yeah, that was really, really great. I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And what were your plans? Like, did you have a birth plan? Did you have thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go? What were you thinking throughout your pregnancy?
Yeah, it's funny because through those antenatal classes, Carmen focused a lot on the fourth trimester. And I remember when I was pregnant, I didn't care about anything to do with that. All I cared about was the birth. That was all I was worried about. But I am so glad it was, you know, primarily on the fourth trimester, because that's definitely the most important. But yeah, I was just so focused on the birth. And I remember we had to do these little cue card things about how our birth could look and, you know, how we would feel. And cesarean came up and I just thought, oh, I don't even need to think about that, because that's not happening to me. And that seems so silly thinking back now, but that was genuinely how I felt. I don't need to worry about a cesarean because I'm young, I'm healthy, and you know, that's not going to happen to me. So yeah, I just didn't really actually consider anything except having a vaginal birth. I thought I would quite like to be in water, and I even considered been at the birthing center, which I don't think I would be able to do looking back now. But yeah, so I think I definitely had ideas of how I wanted slash thought my birth would go.
And talk us through, before we get into your birth story, talk us through the sort of end stages of your pregnancy. How were you feeling in the third trimester and towards reaching your due date?
Yeah, I was feeling really good, actually. I was quite lucky. I had decided to finish up work on my due date. I just wanted to push through so that I had more time off afterwards. But I was quite lucky that we went into a bit of a lockdown, I think, about 3 weeks before my due date. So, yeah, we moved into a lockdown, so I was able to work from home as a teacher for those last 3 weeks, and that was so nice to just be resting and be at home but still making an income, and just being able to sort everything out. So I was lucky on that front that I had that relaxing time before the birth. So yeah, I felt really good, actually. There were no issues towards that end period.
Yeah, nice. And were you doing anything to prepare for birth? Like, I don't know, any of the raspberry leaf teas or antenatal expressing, like any of that stuff?
Yeah, I did. I tried a little bit of all of that. And yeah, I'm not sure on any of it, but I had just heard that that was a good thing to do, so I tried a bunch of it. I did the curb walking once and felt like an absolute idiot, so I didn't do that
Look, I'm looking such a funny one, especially when you're so pregnant. Like, I feel like people
Yeah.
driving past you must just be like, oh my God, that poor woman.
I know, and I
Oh,
lived next door to the school I worked at. I work at an intermediate, and I thought, oh my gosh, if these kids see me, they're just gonna rip me a new one.
yeah. Awesome. Cool. And just take us through, your labor starting. Was it spontaneous? How far along were you? And then, into your labor and birth story.
Yeah, so I was quite lucky that I went into labor on my due date. So I actually didn't know if I was in labor or not. And I remember everyone saying to me, no, you'll know if you're in labor. But I genuinely didn't. I felt crampy and a bit uncomfortable, but it kind of just felt like period pains. And yeah, I wasn't sure if it was labor or not. So I let my midwife know, and she just said, just to carry on with what you're doing. And when they get close, call me again. Your contractions. So yeah, we carried on with the day, and then things ramped up quite a bit, and I said to Hunter, no, I'm definitely in labor. So yeah, we jumped in the car, went through the Macca's drive-through, got some dinner, and yeah, just waited at home until things ramped up. This was probably around 6 p.m. And I put my TENS machine on, so I had a TENS machine, and that was great to manage the contractions at the start. But then I started to feel really miserable, probably around 10 p.m., and I was just vomiting a lot. Which, yeah, I didn't think I would. I just didn't expect that to happen, but I just kept vomiting with every contraction. And then feeling really nauseous, and I couldn't get any water down or whatever. So I just said to Hunter, take me to the hospital. I feel terrible. So yeah, we phoned Carmen and said, I need to come in now. And yeah, we got to the hospital, and I asked for an epidural straight away. I said, please give me an epidural. And I think I had to wait maybe 5 hours for it. They said, yeah, sure, we'll get them in now. But it was through the night at this stage, and the anaesthetist was with someone else. So yeah, it was a bit of a wait for the epidural. But as soon as I got that, it was, yeah, game changing. I felt so much better.
Yeah, and did the vomiting stop?
I was vomiting up until I got the epidural. Yeah,
And then it sort of went away,
so I remember I jumped in the shower before I got the epidural, and Hunter was kind of fanning me with a sick bowl because I just felt so hot. And yeah, it wasn't a pretty time.
And how did things go once you had the epidural? Talk us through, what happened next.
Yeah, so I got the epidural and felt really good. I think I was pushing that little button and topping it up to the max every time. But yeah, managed to get some rest. And I think at that point, I kind of started thinking to myself, what's going on? Because nothing was kind of happening. And I think it had been maybe 12 hours at that point. And I was just kind of thinking, what isn't my baby supposed to be here now? What's going on? And I didn't feel closer. I didn't feel any urge to push, or I didn't feel anything like that. And then think what happened in the end was it just went on for a little bit longer, and nothing was happening, and I started to have blood in my catheter. And so that, yeah, I guess sent some alarm bells. And so they got a doctor in and he came and checked. And yeah, then it was kind of all go from there. They just said things aren't really progressing how we'd like them to. Baby's fine at this stage, but how would you feel about having a cesarean? And honestly, in that moment, I just said, yep, just get this baby out. I'm done. But yeah, so come and tried a few different positions on the bed with my legs and rotating me, but I guess baby just wasn't coming down. That was what was happening. Like, his head was still quite far from where it needed to be. And
yeah,
then a few things started happening, like the blood and the water hadn't broken and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, we went into theatre. I don't really remember a lot. I think I was just so exhausted that things just went so fast. I don't remember signing papers or anything like that, whereas Hunter said I did. But yeah, I think I kind of realized one minute Hunter had scrubs on, I was dressed in this wee uniform, and we were getting rolled into theatre. And I don't remember much of the cesarean, but I just remember hearing my baby cry, and he was out.
And how were you feeling? Do you remember the emotion, or like how you're feeling at that time when you first met him? Talk us through like the next couple of minutes when he was first born.
Yeah, I think I was actually just so exhausted. I didn't really know what to think. I remember I had the shakes really badly. I was just shaking really bad. And they said, do you want to hold him? And I said, no, I can't hold him. I'll drop him. So he didn't actually come up on my chest or anything like that. He actually went into that little mini, I don't know what it's called, little bed thingy, and they had an oxygen mask over him because maybe he wasn't crying, or I don't know, something was going on. But they assured me that he was fine and he just needed a little bit of extra help, and Hunter was with him. So they went over to the corner and did all of that while I was getting stitched back up. So yeah, I hadn't really seen him in those first few minutes. But then once he was breathing fine and all of the rest, they brought him over to me, and Hunter kind of held him on my shoulder chest while I was on the bed. I guess I just couldn't believe that I had a baby. It was just so amazing, but just a bit of shock as well. And I think I was kind of like, whoa, what just happened? What have the last 24 hours been?
Yeah, amazing. And I know, like, I'm sure so many people out there are in the same kind of boat where, like, you go through antenatal classes and you don't even give cesarean a second thought because you're just like, oh, I won't need one of those.
Yeah, I know.
But once you had one, like, was it what you had expected? Like, even though you hadn't given a cesarean much thought, like, was it painful? I guess for mums listening to this, and I know you said you didn't remember much of your cesarean, but I guess for someone who's listening to this and it might be the only piece of information that they hear about a cesarean, how would you sort of describe it? Or what would you say to yourself if you could go back to that first time and sort of talk it through?
I really wish I just considered the idea of having a cesarean, because like I say, I didn't even consider it. So I didn't know things about it. I didn't know that you could bring music into the theatre. I didn't know that you could ask to have your baby strapped on your chest afterwards. I didn't know. I didn't know little things like that. I didn't know that you could have photos, you know, that your midwife could take photos of the cesarean and all of the rest of it. So I guess I just wasn't prepared in that sense. But what I do remember is that it was a really beautiful experience, and the doctors were just so lovely, and they really talked you through every step and made sure you felt comfortable and fine. And Yeah, it happens so quickly. I think from when they start your babies with you in 15 minutes. Yeah, I remember with Koa feeling, definitely feeling when they'd say, "Do you feel this?" and you'd kind of prick your skin and say, "Yes, I do feel it. Please don't start." But yeah, so they had to, I don't know, what do you call it? Block me up a little bit more because I could feel the cut a little bit. But when they started, I could feel the pulling and the tugging, like everyone says, but it definitely was not painful. And yeah, I felt really, really good and comfortable, laying there as comfortable as I could.
Awesome. Cool. And what sort of happened next? Like, do you remember the feeling of like going to your room, and did you like, how long did you have to wait before you could stand up and have a shower? And yeah, you've got a baby to think about in all of this. Like, how were the next couple of hours and next few days?
Yeah, it was pretty wild not being able to move my body. I think I struggled with that a lot actually, just not being able to, yeah, get up and walk around. And I had the catheter there still, so it was, yeah, just things attached to you and a baby also. And I felt, yeah, just tired, and I just wanted to sleep, but I also just wanted to try and breastfeed and hold my baby. And yeah, I think the one thing I remember from that time was Hunter having to leave, I think at 8 p.m. because we were still, I think we were level 3 lockdown. So yeah, Hunter had to leave. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do all night without him and with this baby on my own? But to be honest, it was probably a blessing in disguise that Hunter got to go home and have a full night's sleep after, a really long labor. And yeah, all of that. And it was actually really lucky he went home, because he, as he was driving down the driveway, he said he smelt this wicked smell. And a candle was still burning in our house from when,
Oh
before I
no.
went into labor. Yeah, it was one of
Oh
those
no.
Peter Alexander caramel ones, and he just said the
Oh
smell was
no.
just so sickly sweet. So I thought, oh, thank God he went home before anything bad with that happened. Oh, gosh.
No. And how did you find that night, like when he did go home? Like, I just remember, I think back now, and it just seems like so surreal and crazy thinking about like your first baby after a cesarean and being there on your own overnight. Like, yeah, how were you feeling that night? How did you find trying to care for Koa at the same time as like recovering from a C-section? Talk us through that.
I remember I just kept looking over, thinking, oh my gosh, how are you real? How do I have a baby? But I guess we'll get into it shortly. But the one thing I really struggled with right from the get-go was the breastfeeding. And I think that really changed my whole experience with a newborn, was how difficult that was. Because that was all I thought about. Like, it just consumed my mind, the breastfeeding, when he needed to be fed next. It was so painful every time he latched on. And yeah, so that's kind of all I remember from those beginning stages of my recovery. I wasn't worried about my body, I was worried about my breasts. Like, I had such severe nipple damage. It's bleeding, big scabs all over my nipples, like right from day one. So yeah, it was pretty hectic. And I think that kind of took over from my pain elsewhere, because that just seemed like the most painful.
That is the most painful part, I swear. Like, those like scabs and like cracks and bleeding nipples when you're trying to feed a baby is just like such an awful pain. Yeah, I can re resonate with that.
Yeah, it was almost unbearable. And I, again, like the cesarean, didn't really even consider not being able to breastfeed. I just thought that it would happen and it would be easy and fine. But no, I don't know what it was, but he would just honestly had the strongest suction ever. And yeah, he actually like pulled some parts of my nipple off, so I was just bleeding. Yeah, then they were scabbing over, and then I'd have to feed him again, and all of the advice I would get was just put him back on. So yeah, it was really tricky.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And how long did that last? Like, did you persevere with breastfeeding as you went home? And yeah, talk us through your breastfeeding journey from there.
Yeah, I persevered until I think he was 8 weeks old. And I think I just had a bit of a breakdown and said, I can't keep doing this. It was just round the clock. It was feeding him, then I would pump a bit afterwards, which, oh yeah, that was why I had mastitis a few times. And back then I was encouraged to pump to relieve the, engorged breast. So I was pumping, then I was feeding him, and then Hunter would sometimes give him a bottle of the pumped milk. And yeah, I didn't realize at the time until someone said to me afterwards, you're actually triple feeding, which I'd never heard that term, but yeah, it was breastfeeding, pumping, and bottle feeding. So it was honestly just clockwork. Round the clock feeding, or that was all I kind of thought about, was the feeding.
Yeah. And was it was it making you anxious, or like how were you feeling mentally in that time?
Yeah, I definitely felt anxious. That was the one thing that, made me feel rattled, was the feeding. I was trying nipple shields as well. So, yeah, sometimes Koa would draw my nipple through the nipple shield. So I don't know if you know a nipple shield, but it's got the four little dots at the top. He'd draw my nipple through it, and it would just be like bubbles of skin, so I'd have to pop them back through the holes. And
My god, Krista, you explaining that just gives me the shivers up my
honestly
spine. Oh god,
it was so horrific. And I actually just wish someone said to me, just stop,
just stop.
Like just stop, just get some formula, just feed them. But I didn't have anyone who kind of, I guess, knew or who could tell me that. I just carried on. And then I think when he was maybe 3 months old, maybe 4 months, the breast was absolutely done. And I stopped pumping by 4 months, and he was exclusively formula fed, and that just changed my life. I was so much happier. I actually started to enjoy motherhood and having a baby, and it didn't consume my mind the whole time, which is so sad to me looking back on now. I'm like, god, why didn't you just stop straight away?
It's so hard the first time though, right? Like your first time experiencing that, just your first time being a mom, it's just it is so hard to know that you have other options unless someone like really explicitly says it to you. It's really hard to know.
I guess I almost just wanted permission that it was okay to do that, and I don't know why I needed that from someone else, but I just needed someone to be like, just stop, it's not working for you. Just get some formula and give them a bottle.
yeah And just tell you that it's okay and that your baby's going to be okay and that you're doing a great job,
Yeah.
like all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And how did you find, like, sort of once that was all over and you sort of talked to around 4 months, like being fully formula fed and
Yeah.
you get to start enjoying mum life and
Yeah.
enjoying your baby and just like, yeah, enjoying everything? How did you find, yeah, adjusting to life after that? Like, what were the things that you found that you were loving about being a mum? Just, yeah, I guess talk us through having a baby at that stage.
Yeah, I just absolutely loved being a mum. It was, yeah, it's just the best thing ever. I loved everything with Koa. We'd just go for walks every day and hang out down at the beach. And it was summer. It was summertime. He was born in September. So it was that really sweet age, that 3, 4, 5, 6 months when, yeah, over summer. And it was just the best. Our whole family was so smitten with him. Yeah, we had our family and friends over all of the time, just helping and yeah, loving on him. And yeah, I just adore him so much.
Yeah, amazing. And
Yeah.
how did you go physically, like your recovery from your C-section? I guess those couple of months in, did you notice any like pain or anything that you couldn't do from your C-section, or did it heal pretty well?
Yeah, I actually struggled with the C-section recovery. I just felt yuck for probably a good month. I remember thinking, oh my God, I've got the worst hunchback ever and it's never going to go away. I was just constantly hunched over and yeah, just feeling like I could barely walk. It was kind of just that small one foot in front of the other walk. And yeah, at the start, I didn't pick Koa up a lot because I was just worried something was going to tear or stitch. So Hunter would always pick him up and give him to me to breastfeed. And yeah, it was actually quite rough, that recovery. I remember being quite surprised with how slow it was to feel normal again. But in terms of the scar and sort of that kind of stuff, everything was fine and good. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And how did you and Hunter go as a couple adjusting to life as parents and, yeah, bringing a baby into your family? How did you find that journey?
Yeah, we found that journey really good, actually. I guess we didn't really know any different. Like, I hear on the podcast some couples, you know, kind of had a life together pre-baby, but I guess we almost didn't. So yeah, we just loved it and we've been really lucky. Hunter still hasn't gone back to work. So it's been the two of us home for these 2 years now. So I've always had him around and he's just, yeah, the most amazing father. He's been studying online. So he's been, yeah, finishing a degree but doing it online. So it's actually worked out really well, because he's been able to be at home.
Yeah,
but,
awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
Amazing. And I obviously know that you've got one more baby now.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk us through, like, did you always know that you wanted to have more than one? Were you talking about having a baby? Was it a surprise? Like, yeah, talk us through falling pregnant with Kiwa.
Yeah, I always knew, and so did Hunter, that we wanted more than one. And I desperately wanted a daughter. But Hunter desperately wanted a brother for Koa. So, yeah, we were definitely sure that we wanted another baby. And we didn't really talk about it or think about it, I think, until Koa turned one. And then we kind of, started having the conversation about when the right time to have a baby was. So we just decided to start trying, and if it happened, it happened. But if it didn't happen for a while, then that was okay too. So yeah, that was kind of how things started. I think it was literally the night that Koa turned one. that we spoke about it. And yeah, I think it took maybe the third month of trying that, yeah, I fell pregnant with Kiwa. And yeah, that was very exciting. We were stoked, and I couldn't quite believe it. I got Koa to hand the test to Hunter, and he was shocked, but it was just such a different experience because this time we were like stoked, shocked, not holy shit shocked. We were just like
yay
oh my god,
awesome. Yeah, cool. And how were you feeling in this pregnancy? Was it different to your first?
Yeah, it was different to my first. I actually felt really good this pregnancy. It was almost smooth sailing the whole way, which made me think, oh, does that mean it's a girl because it's so different, or is it just the second baby? But I actually had a really good pregnancy with Kiwa, and felt good. I think I stayed active throughout the pregnancy, and that was a big difference. Compared to with Koa, I didn't really do anything at all. I think I was worried about losing that pregnancy, which again sounds silly, but I didn't want to do anything, too intense. Whereas with Kiwa, I stayed quite active and felt really good.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And talk us through like the next sort of steps in your pregnancy. Did you want to have the same midwife, and was she available? Did you do all of the standard testing again? And did you want to find out the sex this time around?
Yeah, so we had the same midwife, and she was available, which was really lucky. We did all of the standard testing, same with Koa, except we decided not to find out the sex of the baby this time. I think we just wanted to have that feeling of surprise. So we went with not finding out the second time round.
Nice. And did you feel like any anxiety about pregnancy loss in this pregnancy?
I think I did a little bit, but definitely not as much as I did with Koa, because I think I thought in my head, my body's done this, and I know that I can, hold a pregnancy. I didn't really let my mind think about losing this pregnancy this time around, which was really nice.
Awesome. Cool. And what about birth education this time? Did you want to do anything different to your first time? Did you do hatched again? What did that look like?
Yeah, I didn't actually do anything the second time round. I think I was just so busy mum life that I didn't really think about it. But Carmen did suggest that I do an online caesarean course. Nice. Yeah, so I did that, and that was really great. It was not too long, but it was just really informative and really delved into C-section and cesarean, and in case that was what I had decided to do. So that was kind of the only birth education that I did the second time around.
And how did you go with deciding if you wanted to have an elective caesarean or try and have a VBAC? Like, did you go back and forth in your pregnancy thinking about it, or was it clear? Like, how were you feeling there?
Yeah, I was so back and forth. I think that was the hardest thing about the pregnancy was deciding between those two. And again, I'm the type of person, I just wanted someone to tell me what the right thing to do was. But no one obviously could. I found that really hard, and I'd often say to Hunter, what should I do? And he'd always say, just whatever, whatever one you want. And I was like, no, but tell me what one. Carmen was the same. She was supportive either way. And when I met with the obstetricians, I was really hoping that appointment would help helped me, and maybe they would just tell me what was better medically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they kind of said the reason for the first pregnancy, the reason you didn't have a vaginal birth was because of slow progression, and that A could have been because your pelvis was too small, or B because of your baby and the position your baby was in. So they said that they would never be able to tell whether it was my pelvis or whether it, you know, was the position that Koa was in. So I think that made me kind of feel like, well, if it was my pelvis, then the same thing's going to happen again. And I really don't want to go through a labor if it's just going to end up in a cesarean. Yeah, and then I think it was my 20-week scan that they noticed my placenta was lying really low and it was almost covering my cervix. And so they said to me that, yeah, you have to have a cesarean at this stage if it doesn't move. And so I think my mind just kind of went to cesarean. I was like, well, that's what it's going to be. Yeah, so then I went for another scan and it had moved. So it was, yeah, it had completely moved. So I was again able to decide between the two. And yeah, I really wanted to have a VBAC. I just wanted to feel what it would feel like to have a vaginal birth. But I think that part of me really didn't want to have a stressful birth again the second time around. And Carmen had said to me, you can book in for a date for your cesarean, and literally the night before, if you decide you want a VBAC, you could cancel it. So we kind of went with that, and I booked the date in. But yeah, it was in the back of my mind literally until I went up for the cesarean that I could change if I wanted to.
Cool. And how were you feeling in the rest of your pregnancy? Talk us through your third trimester, and like, obviously you've got a little toddler running around, and yeah, life is different to the first time that you're pregnant with Koa. So talk us through that.
Yeah, it's so different. I remember with Koa, I would just lax out on the couch, watch TV, just chill out. Whereas, absolutely could not do that this time around. So, it was definitely tiring. But I think I just kept reminding myself it's going to be even more tiring when the baby's here. So you've got it good at the moment. That's what I tried to tell myself anyway. But, yeah, I was lucky that I felt quite good through the pregnancy. I wasn't sick or anything like that. So, felt good.
Cool. And I know in your submission you said that you travelled to Europe when you were like 30 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk us through that? What was that experience like? Would you do it again, or would you tell someone thinking about it? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that. So we went to Europe for about 5 weeks. With a 20-month-old toddler, and I was, I think, 26 weeks pregnant when we left. That was wild. I felt fine from the pregnancy aspect. That was good as gold. But yeah, traveling with a toddler, would I recommend? Not sure. He was great, but we definitely got a different experience out of Europe than what we would have had if it was just the two of us. But we were really lucky that my sister was with us, my mum, my dad, my brother, and his partner. So there was definitely a crew of us over there, and we spent about a week, maybe 2 weeks with them. So that was really nice when we were with them, because we could pop off and do stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm glad we went. I remember we had the conversation, do we go now with one? Or do we never go because we wouldn't go with two? we're really glad we went, but it was crazy times.
Awesome. Cool. And talk us through, the end of your pregnancy and if you decided to stick with an elective cesarean and then into your birth story.
Yeah, we decided to stick with this elective cesarean until the end. So the way it worked was the obstetrician gave us a date. So my date was the 26th of July. And it said 7 a.m. on the form that you'd be there at 7 a.m. So I went home thinking, cool, my cesarean's at 7 a.m. But when I had spoken to Carmen, she said, no, the way it works is sometimes there's three or four ladies who, have it on the same day, and one will be at 9, one will be at 10, one will be at 11 a.m. So she said, you don't know your order until the day. And obviously, if an emergency comes in, then they take priority. So, that was a bit tricky the night before because you can't eat anything. So I remember being, which sounds silly again, but I remember being really worried that I was going to feel really hungry and feel a bit faint or something if I was having to wait, till the last slot. But we woke up early in the morning on the Wednesday. It felt really weird saying goodbye to Koa, and I think I didn't let my emotions get the better of me there because I was starting to feel really upset that I was going to have a second baby. And it wasn't just going to be about Koa. And I honestly thought, he is my whole entire world. How on earth can another baby, come into our little family? But yeah, we got to the hospital and we waited in the room and got in our little kit. And Carmen came to the hospital at about 10 a.m. and she said, cool, we're in about 10 minutes. So we just got wheeled through and the cesarean began, I guess.
And were you feeling like really different this time around? Were you like, how were you feeling about the actual cesarean happening? And did you do anything different in the room, like knowing that you were going to have the cesarean this time? What were your sort of thoughts around what you wanted to happen?
Yeah, I did feel quite different about it. I think I just went in trying not to think about it too much, about the actual cesarean, and just think more about my babies here soon. But it was just such a different experience. I felt so good. I'd had, done my hair in the morning and felt good in myself. And we went into the room and everyone was kind of just making jokes and the doctors were talking to me about Koa, and it was just such a relaxed vibe. And I had a playlist in my ears, I had some ear pods, but I actually didn't end up listening to my music because we were all just having such a good time chatting. And they kind of just said, right, we're going to get started, you'll see your baby in 10 minutes. So yeah, I just laid back and continued to chat away. And then my baby was here. Carmen videoed the cesarean for us, which was really cool to look back on. And it was just such a different experience. I just felt so good, so awake, so alert. I wasn't exhausted. We had plans for Koa. Like, my mum had come up the night before and he was off at Chipmunks or something having a ball. And there was just no stress to it. It was really, really nice, calm experience. And then I didn't have the shakes or anything this time once she came out, so she was straight on my chest. And I just had her on my chest the whole time that they stitched me back up. And then Hunter had her while they wheeled me into the recovery. And it was honestly just, I'm so glad I went with the elective cesarean because it was just such a great experience for us after, the emergency cesarean. There's a photo of me with Koa in the with that cesarean, and my hair is out the gate, like scruffy, all frizzed up everywhere. My face just looks frazzled. I'm like bright red from being exhausted, and I'm holding this baby. And then my experience with Kiwa is just so different. Like it's, yeah. It was really nice having the elective cesarean.
Awesome. Amazing. It's nice to hear that. I think like it's just a good reminder, I guess, for people who might be listening to this, like there are options in a cesarean section, like, and it is different between an emergency and like a planned elective cesarean. I feel like the circumstances are just different, but there are still some, like, so many things that you can choose to do in a cesarean birth, even if it is an emergency. Yeah. So I think it's just nice to hear, the different sort of perspectives on your two births. It's really nice that you had such a positive experience the second time around as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
And how did you find the recovery in the first few, like, you know, the first day or so this time around? How did you go in hospital, and what was that first night like? Did you feel like a new mum all over again, or was it a bit more like familiar and you felt a bit more confident?
Yeah, I definitely felt so much better the second time around, just being a little bit more in the know, and I really made sure that that first latch was a good one, and I had let my midwife know that that was really important to me. So she helped me, that first time, and I think that was honestly the game changer. Like, my one piece of advice, to anyone would be, make sure you get that first latch right, because that just changed my journey so bad. There's a photo of me feeding Koa where the midwife's like pinching my nipple and putting my nipple in Koa's mouth. Just the worst latch ever. And I think that's when all the trauma started, and then it just went downhill. So yeah, I really made sure this time around that my latch was good. And I just felt so lucky the second time around. I think I knew how quickly time goes, and I just absolutely loved having a little tiny newborn.
Amazing. And how did you find going home and introducing Kiwa to Koa and being a mum of two at home, also recovering from a C-section, like just so many things? So how did you find all of that?
Yeah, so I planned on going to the birthing centre the following day, but I actually couldn't walk yet. I felt quite dizzy when I stood up, so I just had to wait a bit more. Oh, actually, I forgot to mention one of the big things. I actually got the postural puncture headaches after the elective cesarean, which was so awful. That was just the one thing about the C-section experience that was so bad, but I guess that could have happened with a vaginal birth as well. But yeah, I just had these horrific headaches, and I had to lie completely flat. So I ended up having to stay in a hospital for it was 2 or 3 days because of these headaches, because I actually couldn't stand up. And they tried a few methods on me, like they put drips down my nose, and I had to lay back, and I guess they administrated a drug that numbed my nasals or something, or numbed the back of my neck or something, so that the headaches would stop. So they tried a bunch of things for me. And when we left to the birthing centre, I definitely felt better, but I still had the headache. So I had to have a wheat pack on my head for, I think, the first week. So that it would relieve that headache. So that really sucked. I really feel for anyone who has that, because that was quite horrific with a newborn, not being able to sit up or stand up. But so we went to the birthing center, and that was beautiful, and it was really nice to just spend quality time with just Kiwa. I think I was mindful of that. I really wanted to get home to Koa, but I remember thinking I'm never going to just have Kiwa again. So we spent those 2 days at the birthing centre really just lapping up her. And yeah, when Koa met her, he came to the birthing centre just before we were coming home, and he loved looking at her, and he loved to touch her and all of the rest. And then that was about it. He was done with her. She was she was not interesting anymore. And he's now that he is just turned two, he's a little bit more interested, and he likes to give her the odd kiss or the odd tap or a little smack or whatever. But generally he's quite unfazed. And
it's funny, we have some really similar age gap, and I remember Jai with Ali when he first brought him home. It was quite similar. Like, he just wasn't overly interested in him, and then the next thing he'd be like trying to pull him off the couch or something. Like, it's just mayhem.
I know, we can never ever leave Kiwa unsupervised, because he's just too unpredictable. You don't know if it's going to be a little kiss or a smack in the face.
And how are you going, like, now with your breastfeeding journey? Has it been, like, quite different to the first time after, like, getting that help with the latch initially? And I know Kiwa was about 3 months old now, so how are you going, with breastfeeding this time?
Yeah, it's just been so different. The breastfeeding's been so good this time around, and I honestly just thought I would never ever be able to breastfeed. I just thought it was me, and that was that. But no, she's just such a different baby. I think babies are just different, and she was so different to Koa. She just latched seamlessly, and she'll just feed for like 3 or 4 minutes and then be done, whereas I remember Koa would be on for a good 50 minutes. And at the time I thought that was normal, but I guess there's there's no normal. It's just different for everyone. But Kiwa's been so good with breastfeeding. She's been exclusively breastfed up until now, so she's not had a bottle yet or anything like that, because it's just worked. And I haven't touched a pump this time around, which has been really nice. But I think it might have also been my mindset, because this time around I was certain that if it didn't work, it didn't work, and I wasn't going to put myself through that struggle. So I didn't really have any pressure around it. But just two total different babies, and I think that's important for people to know that, not just breastfeeding, but whatever it was, if something didn't work out with your first or was tricky with your first, your second can just be so different. So the feeding's been going really well this time.
Awesome. And have you got any tips for anyone who might have a similar age gap? Like, if you could go back and tell yourself just before Kiwa was born, or anything that you find like really helpful, or has just been like helpful for the adjustment for Koa, anything that you'd recommend to others with a similar gap?
I'm not sure I'm an expert at all on this one, but
you're 3 months in and you're surviving, so I feel like you are an expert.
the only thing we do is we just really make sure that Koa has attention. And I don't know if it's like that for other people, but honestly, poor Kiwa's just had to slot into Koa's life. So she just gets dragged along to his little activities. And we just always make sure that Koa still has that attention, and get him involved with things. He helps with bathing her and swinging her on her swing and all of that kind of stuff. But no, we're just a normal family. He's definitely had a shitload of TV in the last few months, and Yeah, we just do what we've got to do to survive the days. But no, it's actually been, really nice seeing them together, and I'm glad we have that age gap because I'm excited to see them growing up and hopefully being the best of friends.
For sure. The best of friends with about 5 million fights. That's how I look at it. No,
It's
it's so
so
cool.
funny.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for coming on the podcast and sharing your stories with us. I think, you've had like a really interesting journey to hear about, and I've really enjoyed speaking to you. So I know there'll be lots of people out there that love your episode, and I'm just super grateful you're willing to share. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It was really nice to chat and try and remember everything.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. I'd love to hear from you if you want to find me at Kiwi Birth Tales or at Your Birth Project on Instagram, or send me an email, Jordan with a Y, JORDYN at kiwibirthtales.com. If you've got a birth story to share, make sure you head to Instagram and hit the link in my bio. That'll take you to a form to share your birth story. I'd love to get more of you on the podcast as soon as I possibly can. And once again, I am so grateful that you have me in your ears this week and you've chosen to come back and listen to this episode. So I will talk to you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.